Okay, Ron, thank you so much, and thank you for opening prayer again, as you always do. And we thank you so much for the privilege to be here. I get up every morning thanking the Lord for the day.
Yeah. And
I've had a good day today rather than yesterday. Yesterday wasn't so good, but it's working out really well tonight, today and tonight. I got quite a little bit done that I've been trying to get done, so that's one thing. And so turn with me back to Acts 28, and you don't have to go back to Acts 28 because we weren't there until this study. But we're going to go back. There's something that I didn't do. And you know, there's always something that you think about when you are going through and doing study work that you should have mentioned and didn't do. And I'll do that right now because I want to remember this. You know, the last three studies we went through, Paul's shipwreck deal with going from back out of the Holy Lands and going back to getting a ship to go to Rome to take care of business there, because Paul had got backed into a corner to where he felt like his life was really in danger, and he was had been told by God that he was going to give his testimony and his name in the Jerusalem area for Christ. And that had been taken care of. Even in Scripture, it had been taken care of. And for all the things from the 19th or the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, or the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, where Paul had gotten into it with these people who were building these shrines to Diana. And you remember the problem that Paul had. He was kind of cloak and dagger working his way to get out of that place without being caught. And he wanted to go back and to be purified of his vow in the temple. And when he got to the temple, then there was somebody there that had been on this last trip with him and said, "Oh, that's the dude that was causing all the problems over there." And so it wound up getting involved again in the area of Jerusalem and the temple area. And the guy was in the temple when they did the purification and all the things, because Paul went in with four other people to finish the vow. And they all had to do this. Well, Paul had money that had been given to him to give to the needy people there. And so James knew that Paul had this money. He said, "Okay, you pay for your vow, and you pay for these other vows to the high priest, evidently. And you will fulfill that part of your pledge, because you're going to use this money for God's will anyway." And so he did that. And when he got back out and he got in there, then this guy that had been over in Asia, he got with the people, the Jews that was around the temple area, that's the guy. You need to get him. And so that's where he got into problems. And that's the reason they keep, instead of keeping 100 people around the temple area, they were keeping 1,000 people there. The centurion, the chief centurion there, had 1,000 men at his disposal for the guard. And they had problems there before, and they thought that the Apostle Paul was one of the guys that come to rob the temple. And so that was another thing that got them all messed up with all this thing. And so it caused a lot of consternation with Paul, because he said he hadn't done anything wrong. He didn't feel like he had done anything wrong at all, but he said, "I've only taught what's happened, what we all understand." And you're an evildoer. You know, you're one of these dudes. And so and they all wanted him to go to a higher power to get this thing took care of, but none of them know how to put it on paper. He was before Felix, he was before Festus, and finally before King Agrippa. And King Agrippa said, "Well, if he hadn't appealed to Caesar, we could just let him go."
Yeah, he admitted he couldn't find anything wrong.
Yeah, okay. But there's a little bit that we hadn't looked at. And one of the things we hadn't looked at, I want to go back to, but in order to start my other study tonight, I want to go back to a footnote to the shipwreck. And I want us to look at four words, or remember four words, because in the day that we live today, our country is different from just about any other country in the world. Why? Well, four words that can explain that. They all start with F. You've heard us talk about the five W's. Who, where, what, when, and why. Okay, you got four F words. And it's very important that we go back and look at this for a little bit, because when we get started in the study tonight, we may not get through what I've got worked out, but we're going to see some of this in that study tonight of the four words. And I'm going to fix it to give you the four words. Our governmental structure was based upon something different from most other countries. Because you remember, God didn't give Israel a king until they asked for one. Or they demanded one from Saul. And they wanted Saul. They said, "We want to be like all other countries. We want to have a king." Well, here's why we didn't have a king in our government. You see, I'm bringing something of today into the picture from way back, but there was a reason. The four words that deals with all this is the word faith. And I'll explain that just a little bit. Because when God chose Abraham, and he chose those to be of Abraham's seed, as the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea, it was by works. And And Israel is to be judged by their works. As of fire, for one thing. So it's faith and it's family and it's friendship and it is freedom. That's why we're different. This is why we have churches we can send literature to all the people around that we got. Amen. We can have friendship with them. Used to, it's not so much that way today, but used to, you could have a handshake with somebody and it was the same as a signature.
Yep.
Wow. And family. God told Moses and them to tell the people there that if they didn't teach their sons a trade, that they would probably wind up being robbers. Because you couldn't go out somewhere and just get any kind of old job like you can here today, you know, in the time that we live in. But there wasn't a whole lot they had back then that you could go unless you had the ability to start a business of your own. So it's faith, family, friendship, freedom. Turn with me to chapter 28. We ended up with the last verse. The last time I studied was verse 44 of the last verse of Acts 27. And it talked about them coming into shore on boards and on trash and on any part of the vessel that had torn away that they could use as a life raft to get to shore.
Yeah.
And the rest, it says some on boards or planers and some on broken pieces or any part of the ship wreckage. And so it came to pass, just as the angel had instructed Paul, that they all escaped to land. He said, not a hair on your head is going to be lost.
Yep.
If you'll do what I say. Okay. There you got family, because all these people, this 276 people aboard this craft was there because basically of the Apostle Paul. I think they would have shut it down had they not had all the other prisoners on there with him. I think they would have shut it down and had never moved. But they decided to go and try. And so we got a problem with that. Not that they lost anybody from the shipwreck. But let's go through verse 1. Verses 1 through 10 of chapter 28. One of the most important chapters, I think, in Scripture is the end of Acts 28.
Amen.
But verse 1 is pretty telling also of Acts 28. Okay, they all got to shore. They arrived. The arrival. And I'll read it to you out of the King James Version. It says this. Let me get there. Well, I got to turn it back a page. It says, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and now it's called Malta.
Malta.
In today's words. is Malta. So they made it to shore, and when they were having escaped, and the having escaped word in the Greek is diasozo, diasozo. Then they, or we, if you look at some of the notes, it mentions about the thing of we, and we there from the 13th chapter of the book of Acts was Luke including himself, because Luke was on board this ship with a man from Macedonia, was aboard the ship with Paul, and they let him come with Paul because the centurion on board the ship thought that that was Paul's servants. He didn't understand that they were just friends, but he thought they were Paul's servants. Well, they might have could have been with Paul because he may have needed a doctor from time to time, and had Dr. Luke was one of them. So it says, then they, or we, as Luke would say, because Luke was the one writing the book of Acts. We knew, and that word knew there in this verse of Scripture is epignosko. It's appendix 132-2.
Experiential knowledge.
That the island, and the island there, the word island in the Greek is the word nisos in the Greek. But, of course, I think they had a little bit of time figuring out exactly where they were, so Nisos might just mean just an island. It doesn't necessarily mean a particular island. Okay. It was called Melita or Malta. And it was the jurisdiction of the praetor of Sicily. Sicily. And it's called now St. Paul's Bay, the traditional scene of the shipwreck, because this St. Paul's Bay fulfills all the conditions that they found there when it got daylight on the last day that they were going to have to put the ship in somewhere. And the angel had told them to put it into a certain island, but didn't say what certain island. But this was God's will. I can only assume, as reading this and studying this, that this was God's will. There was no other place that they could make these statements and it would come out true if it was done out in the ocean somewhere. I mean, further on out. But they pushed this thing up a creek stream and got it as far as it go. When it hung up,
it
come apart. Okay? So everything is going according to what Paul had said that the angel had told him. Okay. After reading that one verse, I want to go back if I can find where it was here. Okay. Now I want to go back to Acts 27:22. Acts 27:22. It's only turning back a page if you got a companion Bible, but I know we all don't have the same thing. And Paul says this. Well, let's go to 21. It says, after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sir, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for they shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. So he said, there's not going to be any loss of life with you, but the ship will not make it. Okay.
Yeah.
We read the first verse over there in 28, and we realized that the ship didn't make it, but there was no loss of life.
Yeah.
Okay? Why? Paul is going to tell you why. And so Paul is the kingpin of these four words that I just gave you earlier on between what we are today and what they were then. You're going to see the situation between God's man and the rest of the family that was on that ship, because he is now responsible. If he will keep them in line, he is now responsible for fulfilling the word of the angel. Wow! You ever think about that way? It says, for there stood by me, verse 23 of Acts 27, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and to God, and given these, all them that sail with thee. So he says, God has given these people to you, Paul. Keep them in line. That's what the angel had said straight from the throne room of God.
Yeah, he said he would save them, but there's conditions.
Yeah.
Always conditions. You've got to meet the conditions.
Always conditions with God. Yeah. Okay. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Paul says, I believe God. So the rest of them doesn't have to believe God, but they have to believe God's man. They have to believe Paul.
Yeah.
If you're going to get anywhere in the world with somebody that's an unbeliever, they have got to believe you in order to believe what you have got to tell them about their God. And that makes family. If I'm looking at it properly, that really makes family, because if it's your job and my job to witness to somebody of what you know of God and to the Godhead, then you're fixing to bring him into your family. Because you two then will be brothers in Christ.
Amen.
Woo! Then it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Oh, okay. Doesn't give a name to it. Well, these people have been in the dark for about 19 days. No sun, no moon, no stars. And they've just been trying to keep their boat afloat.
And not die.
Yeah. And he said, when the 14th night was come, we were driven up and down the Adria. And about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they should draw near to some country. So when they thought they was drawing close to some land, then they sounded. And they found that they was in 20 fathoms of water, which was about 120 feet of water. And it's a pretty big ship they was on. They wasn't on no this little dinghy wing.
It was 276 people. That's pretty good size ship.
And 276 people and a load of wheat.
Mm-hmm.
and everything that went with it. So you see what the scoop was here. He said, now if you'll stay with me, Paul said in verse 31 to the centurion there, and the centurion is now believing Paul. I think he's down to a point where he may not believe Paul's religion, but he believes that Paul is tied in somewhat. Somehow or another, he knows he's gotten information that nobody else has got. Okay? Paul said to the centurion and to the soldier, because the centurion is in charge of the number of soldiers on that ship. It don't tell us that. But it's at least 100, because he wouldn't take and go on one of these trips like this without taking his 100 men that he's in charge of. And Paul says, except thee there abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. So that's the condition. Boys, you got to hang with the ship till everybody can get off together.
It's all or nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so now we're forming this family that I gave you this discussion about a while ago. So they're beginning to get involved in the family situation of the family of Paul as to who he is and who he's connected to. Turn back to Acts 28. Because we need to paint these pictures, you know, as we go along. And sometimes we try to get in so much in a study that we don't get all our pictures painted. And I find that to be sometimes to be a kind of a problem, because we try to put too much of God's Word into one spot. And if we don't have the time to do that, and to let people understand and know what we're trying to put forth here and how it's going, then we might leave somebody out of the family. Verse 2 of Acts 28. He said, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. Okay, you go back to the 14 days that they were talking about over there in the middle of the trip and realize that they had already been on that trip for at least over a week or better. Now, why did the hurricane, and we'll call it a hurricane because they did, they called it a cyclodon, which means hurricane in their language. Have you ever seen a hurricane get close to a place and then decide to turn around? Most of all our hurricanes come from over in that area of the Mediterranean over there. And they come across the Atlantic, and by the time they get here, they're ready to tear something up. Well, they were in Crete, and they were anchored off in Crete. But the people that owned the ship said, oh, we need to be going. Paul said, nah, I think that's a bad idea. They didn't care. Didn't matter. Because they didn't see. But you see, Paul's perception. And Paul says in more than one place, I perceive. Meaning that he has that he has a way of seeing things or maybe feeling things or hearing things that we can't hear because God has already struck him down and told him what his job was to be. And that one of them was to be a spokesman for God. To the Jews and to the Gentiles and to the heads of state, the
kings.
The kings. You gonna put my name up before them all. And this is what he's doing. Verse 2. The barbarous people. Now the barbarous people in the Greeks call all people who do not speak Greek barbarians. They look at you maybe like you're a little beneath them. Even the Koine Greek, which is what we would call, you know, we say we speak English, but we don't speak the King's English here in America. Certainly not even close to it. But anyway, it's enough to suffice, okay? But the Greek people looked at these barbarian people and realized, you know, they don't really speak our language. But that's okay. The Maltese that were there in Malta, or the Maltians, ever how you want to put it, were Phoenicians. They were Phoenician people. And he said, they showed us no little or no ordinarily or special treatment of kindness. And when you talk about kindness in Scripture, you're generally talking about the word Philadelphia. Because in the Greek, the PH is pronounced with an F. And that's one of the four letters between the Hebrew text and the English language. That's one of the changes that's different. There's four other changes there that are different. So, they kindled or built a fire, having a fire, and the fire there in the Greek is anaputo, and received us everyone. Because there is the word dia, like we get our word diameter. Because of the present rain, there was a reason, and it had rained all these days in that area. I think even for starting the trip. And then they anchored a day or two and thought it was okay, and then they picked up again and went on. And for 14 days, they fasted. They didn't eat anything. It took all hands on deck. Soldiers, centurion, Paul,
everybody,
Luke, and the rest of the prisoners, and everybody that was on the ship. It took every one of them to do this thing. The present rains, and that Greek word is epihistemai, literally, because of the cold. And so they got them off on land, and they built a fire. Paul got involved in building the fire. Verse 3 says this, "And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand." Well, there was words in the scripture that said that there'd be times if you got bit by anything poisonous, they had an antidote for that. It was the Godhead. And Paul now, I think, could consider almost the fact as being a spokesman for God as being part of the Godhead family. If you're a saint and called a saint, I can't see that be anything different than being part of another family or another of the Godhead family. Okay. And when Paul had gathered, and that word gathered there in the Greek is sestrifo, a bundle or a multitude. And the multitude there in the Greek is putathos, of sticks. And that's a phrygonon. And laid them on the fire, there came a viper. And I'm not going to try to pronounce that viper, but I have heard others say that about the only thing in that area that had that kind of poison would be a coral snake. And that they are in the area of where there's evidently are quite a few coral snakes. And I think the sticks they had gathered are the hollowed tube things like the mangrove trees that we see along our coastline that are hollow, because about all of the stuff that grows in the salt water has a protective covering on the outside and a protective coating on the inside. If you've never thought about that. Because those kind of things gets its substance from the sea. And so there's that place in the center of it that this viper could have just crawled in there and got out of the cold and out of the rain.
Yeah.
And it makes sense.
They get lethargic in the cold.
And the reason that it does is these people stood there and made them a statement to each other and said, "Look, this guy got out of the ocean, got away from the sea, but he didn't get away from the snake."
God wants him dead.
Yeah, but it's over for him. Okay. So, because of the rain and because of the cold, and verse 3 says, "And when Paul had gathered the bundle of, or the multitude of sticks, and laid them on the fire, there came a viper." Some say a coral snake was common in that area. It could have been in the hollow of the stick that Paul had gathered out of the heat, and it fastened onto his hand. Well, I don't care. It makes no matter much of what kind of snake you got cornered up. He's going to try to protect himself. And so if he has pits in his head, be a pit viper, and that's generally the reason they're called vipers, is the pits for the fangs that are hollow also to produce the poison. And the poison is there not only to bite somebody to stave them off, but it's also to be used for them to bite something, and that the poison will start digesting the meat on the animal or whatever it is that they're going to consume. And it won't hurt them. But you see, that's part of the way that these things were made. Created by our Creator. And verse 4 says this, "And when the barbarian saw the venomous beast hang on the hand, on Paul's hand, they said among themselves, 'Oh, no doubt, this man is a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.'" So they've already given the death sentence right there. Well, it doesn't sound like family there, does it? No. But we're not done with this little part of scripture either. "And when the barbarians saw," and that's the word "saw" there in the Greek is eidon, "the venomous beast," and the beast there is therion in the Greek, "having hanging on or from his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt, this man, anthropos," that's the word in the Greek for man, it's appendage 123-1, "is a murderer." So they said, well, he must be a murderer. He's going to die, so he must have killed somebody. That's the way they look at it. That is the assumption that sometimes we as human beings take, and we take sometimes the worst assumption that we can come up with. And that's the reason the judge or somebody hearing things need to take in account of all the stuff before they make a rash or a harsh judgment. Because quite often people are let loose because of that. And I can tell you that from being a magistrate for 8 years. "Whom they thought he had escaped out of the sea. Yet, vengeance," in the Greek is hedike, and that is appendage 177-4. Means that to suffereth or not to live. The Greeks personifies justice, vengeance, and other ideas, as we do when we speak of something we would call a nemesis. And to be a nemesis is to deal out justice by one who imposed it. Or we can remember the little word that we read in the scripture. It says an eye for an eye. And that's the way it was in the ancient times. An eye for an eye. If you do something, if you put something out, then you're going to get an eye put out. If you get something, cut off something, then you're going to get something cut off. It was an eye for an eye. It was as what was done, the answer is the same thing to the doer. Okay? So, that was verse 4, and it says, "And he shook off the beast into the fire, and he felt no harm." Well, there's not a lot of scripture here other than just telling us, as one would be sitting there looking at it, this situation. And he, Paul, he then indeed shook off, and to shake off something is the word apotenelasso. Apotenelasso, the beast, the viper, into the fire, and felt or suffered no harm or evil. And harm and evil there in the Greek is kakos. It didn't affect him. Oh.
Didn't affect him.
Imagine that. I'm sitting here looking at something that's going to kill this man. And it ain't affecting him. It's just like, well, boom. You dead. He looks back and says, no way. Verse 6. Family coming up here. The word in this verse 6 now says, how be it. But how be it in the scripture is the word but. But they looked when he should have swollen and fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to Paul, they changed their minds and said, oh, he's a god. He's a god.
It was an easy crowd, ain't it? Yeah.
Well,
they'll change with the wind.
But yeah. But if you cheat death,
yeah.
A lot of people can say that's God's work. Mm-hmm. Well, it is, basically, yeah. Because God is life or death. But, see, these people were using this perception they had that we talked about that Paul had. But Paul's perception is different now.
From there,
after he got struck down on the Damascus Road, he's a different man. He's God's spokesman. Don't ever forget that. And our ticket is through what has been given to Paul for our hope for eternity.
Absolutely.
Wow. Oh, it gets good, doesn't it? Verse 6. But they looked, were expecting or watching, or, and this expectation there in the Greek word is prosdokeo. When he should have, or was about to swell, and that word swell there in the Greek is pimprima, or fall down. And of course, now you got to remember that Luke's writing this, so you get a lot of
medical.
You get a lot of
medical words,
medical terms in this thing. Because I don't go back and look up every one of these Greek words. I'm not sure that my mind could really take all that at once. Because there's been a lot of them here in the last part of Acts. Or fall down dead as a corpse. We all, I think, know what the word corpse is in the Greek, nekros. And that's Appendix 139-2. They thought he'd fall down as a corpse suddenly. Just boom. It wasn't going to be nothing. When that venom hit that bloodstream and went to the heart of Paul, bam, he would have died.
No doubt they had seen other people.
Oh, they knew.
And it was
they lived on that island.
Yeah.
Okay. So now they said, oh, he's a God. Maybe now we ought to think this thing a little different. Maybe we ought to get in his family. Ooh, yeah. Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Well, if he can beat death, maybe we can too.
They knew he had something they did not have. That's for sure.
Absolutely. He sure did. But now they're beginning to want to get tied in with him some way. Okay. Well, the rest of this verses 1 through 10 deals with the guy that's over the island, and his father is very sick with a lot of medical words. Some we might know, some we might not.
Right.
The old in the Greek. Loves.
Okay. So I got time for maybe another one or two. Let's go to verse 7. And verse 7 says this, in the same quarters were possessions of a chief man of the island whose name was Publius. Full stop. No. Wasn't full stop. Who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. So, there's not a whole lot of, other than information here, there's not a lot of deal here, but it says in the same quarter. The part about or around the place where this man's possessions were. Evidently, he must have held a great part of the island for himself. And the place that they were talking about in the Greek was called Huperarchio. Huperarchio. Possessions. Lands of the chief man of the island. And the island here is the word Protos, whose name was Publius. And the notes in the Companion Bible side says this title has been found on an inscription at this island, I guess sometimes since, who received us. And the word received there in the Greek is anadeka, may I, and lodged us. And that word is, in the Greek, is xenio, 3 days, courteously. And again, philophoreneus means courteously or friendliness, with friendliness. So if you want to get into somebody's family, you want to be courteous and friendly. If this is going to be a situation. And I'd like to finish 8, so we'll go ahead and finish with 8. And he said, it came to pass. Oh, when do we hear this? All over God's Word, but especially in the Old Testament. Because when things come to pass, it might be things that they have never seen before. It's not a common occurrence. I'll go on to add my part to it. Okay. That the father of Publius lay sick with a fever and have a bloody flux. That's full stop. Meaning we need to stop and think about that for a minute. To whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Wow. This man has charged the snake. He has charged people on the ship and saved them. And now he has been snake bit, didn't die, and saved them. And now he meets the man over the island. And he's sick, gonna die. And the man lays his hands on him and prays for him and heals him. I think I want to be in that family too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because I wouldn't have to go out and look for drugs.
Right.
It'd be that.
Right.
And the drug would be the triune God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Right. We'll finish. Let's see. Came to pass, the father of publicans was sick to be taken with. The Greek word there, if you're taken with something, is synecho, a fever. And the fever there is puritos. And the word always found in the singular, but found in the plural. In the medical words, perhaps this conveys the serenity which is expressed by the word great in Luke 4:38, or of their recurrence of bloody flux. Hence, in the English, dysentery. That ain't Greek. We know what that is. That ain't Greek. In whom Paul entered in and prayed. And the Greek word there is prosekimai. Pages 134. 1-2, and laid hands on him and healed him. And that word in the Greek, the heal there in the Greek is aeomai. And so I've already run over my time, so we'll do 9 and 10 with the next study the next time, because I wanted to go back and to lay a little groundwork, because I am going somewhere else next time with some other stuff that I didn't take care of also, because you can be a teacher and make an admittance that you don't know everything. Because the word T-O-R is a big word, and it means a gift of God. It's like two people, or you've got somebody that's just graduated from high school. You send them to college. They walk into this hall, and there's somebody sitting over here that's directing all this. And he is called a mentor. Well, you send your child there to get their tour from the mentor. And it can work two ways. The mentor can be a man or a woman or a person. But it also can be a person of God. A preacher. A preacher. A preacher. T.O.R., not a preacher, but a pastor. I mean, pastor. Yeah. That's where we get our word pastor. Somebody that has an association with God and can give it to ones that do not have or are looking for it. Every time you see the ending word tor, that's like the word generator. God is power, and He can generate His own power. Well, the G-E-N, too, is a gift of God. But when you put the E-R-A with it, that is an era or a time of power in time of someone needing power, A-T-O-R. G-E-N-E-R-A-T-O-R. Gen, era, tor. That's like these Greek words. It's three-syllable letters that makes up the whole. And that's how we can say God is. He is, well, we could call it something. We, in the English language, we call it dynamo. He can give power out and give power out and give power out. Still got just as much as He had to begin with.
Never ends.
It doesn't change. The same thing with His Son. And His Son deals with the Holy Spirit that can do the same thing in another way. That's kind of like you getting power in your house. They bring power in online. It's got probably 78 volts of power. 7,800 volts of power. They put you a little round thing up there. And it's a transformer. And it transforms that power down to what you can use in your house. Otherwise, it'd blow everything up in your house. Well, that's like DNA and RNA. DNA is the main power that comes in. But your RNA is the one that controls all of this to give you life and to give you breath and to give you what all these gifts that God has put out there for. Because our breath is a gift of God. Every breath that we have is a gift of God.